Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Today, not about this event, but just something that, you know, a lot of times events make you think about, just related subject matter, especially with me. Yeah, I'm Tyson Harley here on the Scales of Truth. I think I forgot to say that. But yeah, it's me again. So the Charlie Kirk murder. I don't know much yet. The feeds are there. We're this, that, the other. I know of Charlie Kirk. I've never really listened to him. In fact, it's interesting. I have Sling TV, and I don't generally do Hulu or Netflix. Go find my old episode history on Netflix when they decided to go corporate activism in and said, Russian citizens don't get to use our services anymore. Then I went, that's too far. That's not what a corporation's supposed to do. That's a great way to have really bad results when it's not just that leaders, you know, do things, but that companies, instead of just providing services plainly, go ahead and enforce certain narratives against just people trying to live their lives. So I got rid of Netflix after being a very early adopter. But I do have a Sling TV, and so I can record episodes and had some Charlie Kirk episodes recorded, I had not actually, you know, listened or watched hardly any of them. So I know of him. But yeah, you know what? The thing that strikes me is a couple of things. But one is free speech is very powerful. It can be considered such a threat to people that they want to murder people over it. This is how powerful speech and ideas are. Now, granted, you have to be quite unbalanced to do such a thing anyway, but it's the urge, right? We've seen the urge with some of the comments, and I'm not going to pile on because any bad thing happens to anybody. We have crowdsourced troll aspects, right? You're going to be able to find the trolls and the jerks. And so we know that you're going to have people, no matter who is, you know, a victim of violence or whatever, that where other people are going to go, good, I'm glad. But to go from good, I'm glad, which is always a horrible impulse, and how you can go from a horrible impulse of, yeah, I'm thinking it, like I hated that dude, to going all the way through to writing it and putting, and you know, happily putting those words next to your name is beyond me. But to go from that to then actually committing the violence yourself, I mean, you're way imbalanced. But nonetheless, the impulse is true. I can't believe, or can't remember if I told the story here. A couple of weeks ago, I'm just going to a different part of town, driving through, and I see it's a beautiful weekend day. I see on the side of the road, in a yard, in a neighborhood, tyranny or revolution, and I'm like, bro, were you around in 2020, 2021, 2022? This is where your head is? A. B. You can say whatever you want. And I'm never going to keep you from saying whatever you want. And I think you should say what you want. I don't think anybody should get in trouble for saying things, ever. But if my podcast has shown anything, it's that I believe that. But on the other hand, in this day and age of August 2025, that doesn't mean someone shouldn't look in to go, how serious is this dude? How serious is this person? And they look into it and go, okay, well, you know, they haven't done any acts towards this. They're not involved in a group. They thought this and that's what they think. And they're a little bit Looney Tunes maybe, but they haven't crossed the line to acts. But I'm only saying that a handwritten sign on the side of a road in a yard that you're proudly putting on your own property about tyranny or revolution, that goes to say this type of an idea is out there. Okay, violence is now the answer. I don't know what dipshits are being fed this garbage, but it's happening. It is happening. And so it does make for an interesting observation. But then what I'm really going to get to is, it just, when I say it reminds me of something, Australia, you're getting hammered with speech problems. Europe, you're getting hammered with speech problems, with prohibition of speech. United Kingdom specifically, hammered with prohibition of speech and speech restrictions. And I am here to tell you, as Americans, yes, Americans carry the torch. And other folks carry the torch to the extent that you can. I know Americans are privileged with this extra protection of free speech, and we have to use it. We have to go pedal to the metal. We have to. We have to flex this right now more than ever. I could not be more proud of the libertarian and somewhat conservative press of saying, yeah, Trump, I want to support you, but here you're wrong. You have to be able to say that. And the most healthy culture and environment is those people are saying, man, love you, bruh, but you are so wrong here. And what I do like about Trump is he lets that, lets that dialogue fly. We were losing that dialogue in 2020, 21, 2022, and so on. When I told you, and I archived it as an episode where Kamala was saying Elon Musk has abused his privileges, and there has to be the same standard for everybody. Translation, it's not the First Amendment for him. That's not the standard. The standard is you fucking bow to our censorship regime, like the rest of big tech is. And after he took over X and Twitter, and it no longer bowed to the censorship regime, she didn't like it. That's as close. We were that close to the First Amendment being token only, being gone. And we must understand the strength of the American First Amendment, and we must flex our muscles. Remember, there are idiots out there. You can find it in the sentiment of the trolls. And I never, I was starting to say earlier, like the idea of, look at the quote, whole other side is happy that this person died. No. That's not true. Stop lying. Say it, but it's low-hanging fruit. Okay? When the commenters are saying it, the commenters are going to say that stuff about anything. If you find out that somebody who was pro-orange juice got murdered, there's going to be someone in the comments going, good, good effing riddance, I'm happy. That's going to happen. You're going to find it. It's crowdsourced trolling. You're going to find it. But nonetheless, understand that the sentiment is there. Understand when it comes to my point of flex those free speech muscles. There are people who despised him because he used free speech. And then there was memes where it's like, you can tell a meme, can I just, please people, when you see a meme where it's a 5 bullet points of why you're supposed to hate this person, but none of them are quotes, and somewhere in there a word is quoted, and the rest of them are characterizations, use your brain just a motherfucking bit and understand that that is a very legalistic meme that's trying to influence you as opposed to give you the entire point of view when it's not even using quotes and not having cites. Understand that there are people who dislike narratives enough that they don't want those people to be able to speak. There are people applauding the censorship regime. And thank God we have the pushback. Thank God we have the pushback. There are people pretty loudly talking about people should not be able to say this. People should not be able to tread in that territory. It's always a sentiment. And it's a matter of whether it's allowed to grow. And the First Amendment is such an important part of, we can always point to, no, shall not be infringed. Go fuck yourself. And yes, we have our exceptions that are built into case law, and they're horrific. But do you understand that the more you start to build the exceptions, the more the exceptions overtake? I've said this before. It is not the Constitution, unfortunately, in many cases. The case law and precedents overtakes the Constitution, and it is no longer about what the intention and the clear language is about. So as you have shall not infringe, you flex that fucking muscle. You use your free speech on behalf of the entire world, Americans. You use that free speech. Candace Owens taking down basically a French regime. You don't think that's heroic? And now it's using the speech. And I'm not saying the regime otherwise deserves to be taken down. But if just merely pointing out the potential gender of the First Lady is something that can take down a regime instead of you idiots just standing up for it and going, so what if she is? If you're not ready to do that and you're going to let truth and free speech take you down instead of admitting something, or instead of addressing it in a clear and honest way, instead of through legalistic terror, then I guess your regime's coming down. That's your own damn fault. American free speech is doing that. It is always, the truth is always the right thing. Anybody who says otherwise is a fucking liar. Free energy, behind closed doors, anti-gravitics that would change entirely the calculus of how resources get to humans, would change entirely the calculus of, yes, but how much energy do we have to use to desalinate ocean water that is a million times more water than we need to keep everybody hydrated and healthy on the planet? A million times what we need. We deal with fresh water, not 30,000 feet depth in some cases of salt water. If we could merely desalinate based on energy balances being different, never mind that we could have done this a long time ago, it should have been a major priority. But that's how big the freeing of energy technologies is. And yet someone is convinced. No, that's a top secret. That's a national secret. Truth is always the best. We can't handle the UFOs being true, whether or not that's true or not. I'm not even convinced. I do believe that there's, you know, major video evidence, but again, it goes back to, what is the truth of it? Let the truth be out in the open and discuss, and anybody who's trying to hide truth should be the person in jail. It should be scandalous. It's too important. Okay, either it's that aliens exist, or it's that you have created such a level of technology as to change the world. No. The people can't handle it. But you're a liar. You want to keep it to yourself. You want to keep it to yourself for purposes of leverage and power. And quote, military might. And the ironic thing is that if the hidden information was allowed to flow freely, our needs for resources and our needs go down, our scarcity goes down, our needs for war go down, because prosperity is distributed more evenly in an open society. So, yes, I know Australia. It's tougher. It's heroic to, if Charlie Kirk has shown us anything, you know, like him or not, is that exercising free speech openly can be dangerous. That means there's some, you know, heroism involved. If you know, if you're saying things that everybody likes, it's not heroic. I mean, I can say, go Kansas City Chiefs, not everybody likes it, but it's not going to make anybody so mad that they kill me. When you're talking about things that can marginalize, that's the most important speech. Because it's about issues and where they lie and where the truth or the goodness is. When you're talking about things that can marginalize, some of that is because you're going against corrupt powers who are trying to make most people think A is truth, when either about their general corruption or about their approach to the world, it is not true. It is instead because they're enriching themselves, or instead because they're a criminal and are trying to hide it. Your speech marginalizes because you are the dissident. If you're in Europe, if you're in the United Kingdom, if you're in Australia, if you're in New Zealand, if you're, we all know this. Like, you exercise a free speech. Exercise it. Truth is the only thing that saves us all. And remember the whole, they can't, you know, they can't kill us all. Not meaning anything there about Charlie Kirk, but as far as, okay, if your government is starting to be tyrannical, there's strength in numbers. You know, I am Alex Jones. I am Charlie Kirk. I am Tucker Carlson or whoever. Once you've Agent Smithed it, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Flex the freedom of speech muscle. Today, someone was murdered over free speech because immature and basic minds, their best arguments, and I'm not even saying, again, I've hardly even seen a Charlie Kirk anything. So I'm not even trying to, you know, weigh on the correctness of what he says. But I can still say immature and basic minds, instead of going, how do I dispute this argument? Instead say, I don't want him to be able to speak. I could guess, I don't know, that he's one of those that had to kind of fight the battle against even being able to appear on campuses, because there was that. You don't get to appear on campus. I know one of the college groups has invited you, but I'm butthurt over it, and therefore you shouldn't be able to. No, protest all you want, but as soon as you're interrupting free speech, you're an immature and basic mind. Okay? When you interrupt speech, when a group invited, you are now anti-free speech. If you want to have a counter protest instead of screwing up their event, absolutely and positively. Okay, if it's a city council thing and they're not talking about the things you want to talk about, yeah, I don't mind a little disruption. But to disrupt that somebody who's brought on campus by a group to speak and keep them from having their event, that's anti-free speech. And it shows a basic and immature mind. Now, that person, if you invite them to a debate, that's entirely different. If you invite them to a town hall Q&A, entirely different. But those minds whose impulse then manifest only as interrupt and stop, instead of now we have our argument and we counter with our narrative and we say why this person is wrong. And again, oppose Charlie Kirk all you want. Say, I fucking hate Donald Trump all you want. Do it. do it. But when somebody gets murdered, there's a time period in between your first response going, I hated that motherfucker. Say that to yourself. Even say it to the couple people around you. But there's a time and a period in between that and blurting out and deciding to actually hit enter with your username next to it, with your face next to it. Something that glorifies somebody's murder, that acts like it was justified. And, you know, in that vein, I'm going to go to Qatar, and I'm going to emphasize Israel, bro. Speaking of anti-free speech, they are one of the biggest anti-free speeches, free speech regimes on the planet. And the more we act like their traditions are supposed to overtake the American First Amendment, the bigger fucking trouble this world is going to be in. With the latest being, oh, Trump thinks it's going to be a peace talk. And then lured by a peace talk, Israel murders people. Okay. That's a little ridiculous. And Israel is a tyrannical motherfucking place. And I'm going to emphasize, and fine, they can be that way. They can be that way, but we, with our traditions, don't have to ignore our traditions based on what Israel's traditions are. And that's what we're fucking doing. So I'm going to go again and emphasize what's going on, which I goddamn called. I don't remember whether or not I did it on an episode here, but I called it otherwise. So I'm not going to take credit that I can prove necessarily. Israel, think of it like the United States. Now, it's not shaped like that, but just for purpose of my next comp. Now, in the southwest corner of the United States is California. Okay, on the west coast. Now, inside California is Los Angeles. It's coastal, it's a big city. Generally, that's the setup. Now, Israel is not as big east-west, it's not the proportion. But as far as where California is, where Los Angeles is, that is the Gaza Strip, and that is Gaza City, generally. Okay, there's a lot more coast of Israel to the north. So even that is a little bit much, because California is a good amount of the United States West Coast. But a lot more of... So imagine if California was only the size of Washington, but it was south. South part of California was still there. It's really the size of Washington. And then the rest of the West Coast is something else. Then you'd have more like, you know, Gaza and how much Gaza takes up the West Coast of Israel. And so I goddamn told you that these motherfuckers, they're taking down residential large apartment buildings. That's what's happening. Under the guise of, remember they do this in the West Bank too. Oh, we're trying to teach you a lesson. Someone you know was associated with being anti-Israel. It could be a nephew. It doesn't matter. We're going to terrorize you. Your neighborhoods we are raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, with our bulldozers. It's not even about finding that person. Under UN law, I mean, think about this. What's the right way to perform clearing a city? It's not destroying the whole city. It's going and finding the armed combatants. And then if you know they're in a certain spot, that's fine. But you have to clear it. You have to go door to door so you're not killing innocents. And instead, what is happening is 8-story apartment buildings just get missiles in them. And I'm getting to the Gaza City part, but this is generally in Gaza. Okay, we have the video. We know that's what happens. Buildings go down. Not all buildings are concrete column reinforced like 9/11. Many of them, the structure is more their walls, the base of their walls. So they go down a lot easier. Women and children are in the rubble. Now, the excuse would be some terrorist was in there. Okay, well, you can't have it both ways then, because they do both of this. So you bring it down just without notice? Because it's also a whole apartment building. So how do you say, hey, everybody else except the terrorists, we're about to throw a missile at this building. But that's their excuse. It'll be like, hey, you guys can go ahead and you're going to want to get out of this building because how are you telling anybody that without telling terrorists? But to make it look like they're kind of following along with kind of standards of war and when it's beyond the pale, they'll say, we told them to get out of that building. Yeah, but how can that be if there's really a terrorist there? Okay, how could you give them notice? Just say, hey, you, kid, go down to that building, tell people it's about to explode in 2.5 minutes. And then it doesn't even get all the way through the building? So it's not true. It could be true in some cases, but it's not logical. Okay, do you clear the whole building? If you clear the whole building, then how did you kill the terrorist? And if you're raising a building, and sometimes you didn't, if that's your true intention. Or is it just to raise a building so that these people in Gaza now are more like refugees because you just took down the residences in a 7 to 9 story apartment building of 700 people. So now they're refugees. And you do that enough and they've got no place to live. And you wait for them to fucking leave. And then that's your land. But wait for it. In my analogy of California, now I've turned California more like Washington on the southwest coast of the United States instead of the northwest coast of the United States. They're like, we got to get to Gaza Strip. A lot of things going on there. There are terrorists here and there and everywhere. Israel has plenty of room. What the fuck are you doing? Oh, we have to invade it. Well, and then they go, and the last thing we have to get to the last of them is going to Gaza City. Now, I've been wrong before, and I had these numbers in my head once. These could be a little bit wrong. Gaza generally is one of the most populated, densely populated areas on the planet. But even then, you've got population density spikes in there. And Gaza City on the coastal is a coastal city. That if that kind of 2.2 million people in Gaza, give or take, if I remember right, something like 1.1 or 1.2 are in a lot smaller area in Gaza City. And instead of going in and clearing out, they're still doing the same shit, man. They're like, well, to finish this, there's more terrorists. They've gone into the city. We're going to have to clear this. And I said, this is what I said I predicted. Yeah, they want to raise the city. Just like the West Bank, which is, east of Jerusalem, but it's on the West Bank of the river there. They want to raise it. They want to go terrorize and get rid of settlements and get rid of apartment buildings. And, hey, we can have a coastal city. So they're trying to fucking destroy it. Okay? That's what they're doing. And I told you, when I was on Telegram, I can say, Jew this, Jew that, Israel this, Israel that. I accidentally, just to point out the distinction between, it, to be more nuanced, to say, listen, it's not about whether, just like when American imperialism gone wrong, often at the behest of Israel, by the way, when you look at most of the most deadly operations, is not what I want. Don't look at me. I'm just an American. Okay, I didn't ask for this, and I don't want it. Just like that, I was pointing out, listen, I'm not talking about every person who is, who is involved with Judaism. I'm not talking about every Jew. I'm not talking about most Jews. I'm not talking about Jews in the United States. I'm not even talking about most of the Jews in Israel. I'm talking about the crazed lunatic, if you will, think neocon. But think of Israel's version of neocon with religion mixed in, which I know you could say neocon is religion mixed in, but it's not quite as so integrated as the Z word. It ends in ism and has ion in the middle of it, right? The Z word, okay? And I mentioned that on Telegram, and I'm like, what? One of my posts was knocked down on Telegram? Do you understand these motherfucking assholes? So why don't I just use that when I'm referring to the Z word? Not all Israelis, not all Jews by any means, but these lunatic neocon, Israel version of neocons with more of a Bible basis for their specific actions. These lunatics have made it a censored word, a word you can't say if you're, this is why I say free speech. If your post has it, even on something much more freedom of speech centric like Telegram, you don't get to point out the nuance. Do you understand how important this word is? Go listen to my, because it does bring the nuance. No, these are the neocons. And if you look it up, that's when you find the motivation. Go listen to my episode on Greater Israel and how there's a patch. There's the Cliff's Note version of it. But there's a patch that the IDF wears that shows a geographic area. I forget what I calculated to, but 55 to 78 times as large as current Israel. And they put it as one of their campaign patches, taking in all or part of about 7 surrounding countries. That happens to go along with a Bible verse about Greater Israel, which is never supposed to be the country. It just generally meant where Jews live generally was. But anyway, yeah, the Z word. Use your free speech. Right now in the world, outside of United States imperialism, whatever they, you know, do the stopwatch on the pendulum going back and forth. Trump, you will do our bidding. You will do our bidding for violence. Outside of whatever the fuck the United States might do, the biggest threat on the planet as far as truth and justice and love and peace, also known as the Prince of Peace's message, is not unironically those that have rejected Jesus. And I'm no Christian, but I can note the difference. And I can see the difference that not ironically, those who don't believe in justice and peace and all equal are the people who don't believe in Jesus, who have rejected that. Specifically those who are all in on the exact opposite, the Bible before Jesus in its most violent form. They are the biggest threat to peace and love and harmony on the planet through their direct actions and through their puppetry of about 17 other strong countries with economies and arms to sell and arms to use. It ain't good. Right behind them, although totally related, is the World Economic Forum and NATO and how they want a unilateral, unipolar world without Russia as a counterpoint, militarily or philosophically. And I know this has gone way long, but I'm telling you, I can't remember where it was, and I think I mentioned it in another episode. Someone was speaking about visiting, might have been someone that was on a Tucker Carlson episode, and I just heard parts of it, how they visited China. And they go, what's this credit card about? They built their parallel economy. You know how we thought we had to build when the main economy seemed like they were going to have to go all in with the big tech censorship. And yes, you must bow down to the regime. They built their parallel economy. They don't give a shit about Citibank. They don't give a shit about Bank of America. They don't care about all the credit card services. Go fuck yourself. Guess what? In India and in China and in Russia, what was the other one? Brazil? BRICS? And another one too, you know. There's already 2 billion people. They've got enough people to have. If they cooperate together, they have enough people. This is a real world pivot thing. And I appreciate that, yeah, China and India will be there. But if Russia goes down, whether or not you agree with Russia, you need to understand that the World Economic Forum is not your fucking friend. And yet, they have more allegiance to them from about 15 world leaders, elected world leaders, than those leaders have to their own countries individually. The World Economic Forum is a threat to the future of humanity. Always oppose them. Always don't get tricked. Stop. So NATO is a problem, specifically world being puppeted by those same powers that are puppeted by World Economic Forum. It's a problem. But near it is Israel and their current doing and their current twisting of puppetry and buying off. It's bad. It's bad. And I do mean the Israeli regime. It's a concern. And for instance, one of Trump's biggest missteps, no, that's not a misstep. It's like, should you even elect him again? Is to say, university presidents, you're in big trouble for anti-Semitism. And America is called the First Amendment. So see, one thing I think I interrupted myself earlier. I love that, now I do think I covered this, people like push back on Trump. Because you have to. Because he's got so much energy. And yet some of the stuff you go, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck, Trump? Like, what do you mean that the Epstein files are a Democratic hoax? And he keeps pushing it. Like, are you insane? Like, it's a good question, right? Like, I appreciate, I don't think there's a president that's ever had this much energy. I don't know what it would be. You know, I know it's anecdotal, but, Cowherd, sports guy, he's trying to do the same dumbass thing. I really don't like this. It's trying to flex your muscles too much that, oh my gosh, Rich Eisen does, where every day or several times a week or something, he goes, I'm also going to have a pop culture. I don't want you to flex your muscles. If I wanted to listen to a pop culture person, I'd go listen to a pop culture person. Please just cover fucking sports. Well, Colin Cowherd did this a little bit, but Dana White was on, but he's sportsy too. But, you know, bring in the big guy, big guns, and show how impressive I am. He goes, man, thing is, Dana, do you sleep? He goes, yeah, I'm not much of a sleeper. Like, I don't need it. I can get up by 4 or 5 hours. Anybody who's, Dana White goes, yeah, I heard the other day someone go, if someone says they're not getting 7 hours of sleep, they're lying. It's like, well, I don't. Now, maybe he's constantly sleep deprived, but on the other hand, he's functioning highly in the world to do it. And he says specifically, Trump makes me look like an amateur. And he's, whatever he is, 79, 81, whatever age he is, he, like, his energy is effervescent. Like, I don't even know where it comes from. I don't think there's ever been a more energetic Trump president than Trump 1 or Trump 2, as far as terms. But he totally fucking makes mistakes. You just go, well, all in all, is it better than not? But it's a giant fucking mistake. Are you kidding me? Trying to scold or punish university presidents because 18 to 22-year-olds are protesting? That's exactly what's American. What is American? That's exactly what America's supposed to be. That you protest. And when else should you protest? When should you most be passionate about? Except when people die. We got all these people pissed off about just trolls about one person dying today. And you should be. It's awful. But when there's hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people dying, I feel like the free speech spigot should be all the way open. And Trump, like a dumb fuck, like as bad as Biden in this arena, tries to punish university presidents. This is where I say he's taking on the traditions of a regime. You know, maybe they're so, oh, what's the word? You know, all one type of people in Israel that they're all cool. They never have to disagree very much. And so they don't have to enforce a total anti-free speech regime. But one thing you don't fucking do is tell another country what their freedom of speech rights are. But that's exactly what Israel does. And as a result, it's exactly how a bunch of people otherwise say, of course we should be able to speak on campus. I'm talking about conservatives. How dare Charlie Kirk not be able to speak on campus? Which ironically, he's totally pro-Israel. Or was. Again, rest in peace. But these same people like, how dare Gottsad not be able to go on campus? How dare Candace Owens not to be able to go on campus? I'm just not thinking of all the names. How dare Tucker Carlson? There are a lot more extreme ones than that. Not could go on campus. Now they're like, and you shouldn't be able to criticize Israel on campus. It's anti-Semitic. Crazy. So again, going back to the original, flex your free speech muscles. Flex them. Americans, use your privilege. I say privilege compared to the other countries. Every country should have it as a right. We do have it as a right. And before they carve out more exceptions, fucking flex it. Flex your freedom of speech. Not just for American interests, but for interest around the globe. Flex those muscles. Use them. Okay? Figuratively, and I'm saying figuratively, when you see a threat, figuratively, use speech. When you see a bully, to shove that bully up against the wall and make him understand, not here, buddy. You're not intimidating me. When you see, be that, if you will, let's use this analogy. I love this analogy. Nothing's a better scene in movies or a better trope or a better reality than the jock who sticks up for somebody, right? And the jock who has empathy, the jock who understands, yeah, I'm kind of privileged in the sense of my, physique and my physical ability, and I don't appreciate it, and I will stand up for when someone is being pressured and intimidated physically, emotionally, and I will stand up for that person and go, I think you want to back off here. Americans, understand you're the bully who has the privilege of being more athletic, being larger, being able to push back. Push back. On behalf of other people, push back. On behalf of other people, exercise those free speech rights. And this is very easy to say, and not that it's not a good observation, but I heard it today. I hope you don't think this will shut us up. Murdering Charlie Kirk? It will not. It will not. Okay? And it strengthen numbers, and make you be more timid. Speak truth. Always speak truth. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth.